Good morning, good morning, good morning. Again, this is the day that the Lord has made. We rejoice and we are glad about it. Despite what's going on the outside, despite the weather, God is still worthy to be praised, and we bless his name today. I thank God for all of you that are tuned in to our broadcast today. It's our hope and our desire that something brings you into a close relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. If we have any new folks that are out there that are listening in right now, we thank God for your presence today. And as always, again, we pray that something shared with you that brings you into a close relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. The Living Faith Community Church is about connecting real life to a real faith. And so thank you all so much for tuning in. Thank you to our audiovisual team. Thank you to our praise team for the songs that they bought forth for today. And now it is time for the word of God. And so pray with me now, even as we share God's word. Bow your heads with me. Father, thank you so much again for this day. Father, we lean in this moment to hear what you have to say to us by your spirit. Father, I thank you for every person that's listening in right now, those that will tune in later, oh God. Lead and guide by the power of your spirit. Encourage us this morning, oh God, as we praise your name today and every day, because certainly you are worthy to be praised. We thank you and we praise you. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Come on, give God praise wherever you are. If you're at Bedside Baptist, come on, give God praise. Tell God thank you for the gift of another day. Tell God thank you for supplying all of your need according to his riches in glory. So this morning, y'all, we go to the word of God. We go to the word of God to Psalm 150. The last psalm in the psalm, Psalm 150. Go with me. I'll read from the New Living Translation of the Bible. Psalm 150 says this. Very familiar passage of scripture. We quote it all the time. It says, praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heaven. Praise him for his mighty works. Praise his unequaled greatness. Praise him with the blast of a ram's horn. Praise him with the lyre and harp. Praise him with the tambourine and dancing. Praise him with strings and flutes. Praise him with a clash of cymbals. Praise him with loud clanging cymbals. Let everything that breathes sing praise to the Lord. Praise the Lord. Encourage our hearts this morning from this thought, a license to praise, a license to praise. According to the dictionary, the word license means an official document. It's legal permission to practice, to operate, or to own, or to do something specific. Again, when we look at this term, when we look at this definition of license, the license is permission, it's authorization, as well as the document or the recording giving us permission or authorization to do a certain thing, to operate in a certain way or to own a certain thing. Think about this for a moment, that all of us want to drive. From the time I was 14, 15, I wanted to drive. I had to have a driver's license. If you want to drive in the United States, you should have a driver's license. And so you got to go down to the DMV, wherever it is, and you got to take that test and do all that you got to do so you can get a driver's license. And so you take the test, and then they give you this little license, this little card you can put in your wallet. So now you have the license to drive. You have the authorization to drive a motor vehicle. What about those married folk in the house today? That if you want to be married in the United States, listen, you have to have a marriage license. You have a document that gives you the permission, the authorization to be married. The same thing applies to business. You have to have a business license. Law, you have to have a law license. Medicine, a medical license. Real estate, you have to have a license to practice real estate. So Psalm 146 through 150, they're praise psalms, y'all. And they begin and they end with the words, praise the Lord. But when we get here to Psalm 150, y'all, it's the highest of the praise psalms. It's a fitting doxology of all the psalms. Praise is mentioned some 13 times in Psalm 150. So I want to let you know this morning, y'all, that Psalm 150 is our authorization to praise God. And the scripture, y'all, is the documentation that lets us know that we can praise God. You have a license to praise the Lord. Anybody want to praise him today? He's worthy to be praised. Praise, what is it? When we talk about this word praise, it's to commend, it's to admire, it's to applaud, it's to lift up, it's to reverence someone or something. Something is praiseworthy. Something is worthy of our boast. We all know in a couple of weeks, y'all, the Super Bowl is going to happen. And so whether it's going to be the Patriots or the Seahawks or the Broncos or the Rams, whoever's going to come together. I don't have a dog in the fight. I don't have a dog in the fight, y'all. The Cowboys are out right now. Listen, we're waiting for next season. They have the winning season next season. But you better bet your bottom dollar that people that are for the Rams or one of these other teams, y'all, they will give praise to their team, won't they? Your team may not be in the Super Bowl, but you still give praise and honor to your team. So yeah, our praise, though, our hallelujah, hallel, praise, Yah, God, is to God, y'all, and it's an expression of worship. It's lifting and glorifying the God of our salvation. It's giving praise to his holy name. So the Bible gives us license to praise, but it requires the believer to put it into practice. Y'all, many years ago when I was in the military, stationed in, I think it was Washington State, I had a friend. And this friend, y'all, he had a license to drive a vehicle. But because of a major accident he had years prior, y'all, he would not get behind the wheel of a motor vehicle. He would not drive. Wherever he had to go, his wife would have to take him. One of his teenage children would have to take him. One of his friends would have to take him. He'd have to get up for work in the morning. Someone would have to take him to work, bring him back home. He refused to drive a motor vehicle, although he possessed a license. His license was current. He had permission to drive, authorization to drive, but he would not drive. What a sad commentary. To have a license, but because of some unfortunate situation, it's like a major accident. Get it, I understand. He refused to get behind the wheel of a car and drive, has the license to drive. How sad it is. What a sad commentary it is for us to have a license, the permission, the authorization to praise God. Well, we won't do it because of some situation that has happened in our lives, some unfortunate circumstance. Let me ask you the question this morning. What does it take to put a delete on your praise? What will shut you up? What will stop you from talking about the goodness of God, the grandeur of God? What did it take to put a delete on your praise? What a sad commentary it is for my friend. He would get into my vehicle and he'd sit beside me and he has a license to drive. I have a license to drive and I'm driving, y'all. I'm doing it. I've had a few fender benders, nothing major, but I'm behind the wheel of the car. But he's right beside me. He has a license, just like I have a license, but he refuses to drive. It's a sad commentary when we come into the house of God, isn't it? And the person sitting right next to you, they have authorization. They have permission. They have a license to praise God, but they refuse to for some reason or another. Don't let anyone or anything put a delete on your praise. So careful consideration of this climactic course to God should mold every member of this church, every believer in the family of God to praise God. So Psalm 150 answers four questions that all lead to a single response. And their response simply is, y'all, praise the Lord. So I hope y'all with me this morning. You're at Bedside Baptist, but wherever you are, I hope you can open up your mouth and give praise to the God of our salvation. So the first question that the psalm raises, we give answer to, is the where of praise. The where of praise. Look again at Psalm 150 and verse 1. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heaven. So there it is, the where of praise. Praise him in the sanctuary. So sanctuary comes from a Hebrew word, which really refers to God's chosen meeting place. And some of you Old Testament Bible readers know that the temple, Solomon's temple, it was the place where people would gather together in Jerusalem and they would give praise to God. But the New Testament focus is no longer on a particular place, that we are the people of God, that we are the temple of God, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so as long as the Spirit resides on the inside of us, then wherever we are, that's where we praise God. So it reminds me of my mother and how she would get me wherever I was. If I acted up, y'all, in the grocery store, she'd get me right there. If it was in the department store, y'all, she would get me right there. She would handle her business right there. I believe this. Wherever God is acting on your behalf, wherever place you realize God is blessing you and keeping you, that's the place that you ought to praise God. So if you're walking in the grocery store, y'all, and you know the price of the groceries are high, y'all. Sister Jackie bought a roast the other day, $28 for a little bitty roast. But listen, I gave praise to God that we could afford that $28 roast. I praise God for it. So if you're in the department store, y'all, and stuff is on clearance, it's on clearance. You know, we are clearance people. And you can afford to buy it, y'all, listen, praise God for it. Wherever you realize, wherever you come to the thought and the knowledge that God is blessing you and keeping you, that's the moment, that's the place that you ought to praise God. Praise him in the sanctuary. Praise him wherever you are. Not only that, the psalmist says, praise him in his mighty heaven or the firmament. So praise takes place, y'all, in the mighty heavens. And so when we think of the firmament of the heavens, we think about the sky that we see. Beyond the sky that we see, there is the outer atmosphere. And then we think about the heavens, there's the place where God resides. Listen, our praise ought to be lifted up. Our praise ought to go up into the heavens. Our praises ought to go before God. So when we talk about the heavens of God, his mighty heaven or his firmament, we're talking about that which illustrates God's power, that he's the God of the heavens and the earth. Psalm 8 verse 1 says this, O Lord, our Lord, your majestic name fills the earth. Your glory is higher than the heavens. So what does that mean to us? From earth to heaven, God is to be praised. God is to be lifted up. God is to be magnified. The angels cry holy, and so do we. So we understand the where of praise, but also there is the why of our praise. Look at verse 2 with me really quickly. Praise him for his mighty works. Praise his unequaled greatness. So the psalmist says it in the text, praise God for his mighty works. We are told that we praise God for his acts of power. So I believe the psalmist has a few things in mind as he talks about the mighty works of God. The first thing I think he's talking about is the acts of creation. Out of nothing, God created something. Out of nothing, God made the heavens and the earth, dividing the earth from the sky and the water from the land, forming man from the dust of the earth, breathing into his nostrils the breath of life. That God creates something out of absolutely nothing. Kind of reminds me of my mother and my grandmama, and some of us from the South, we call it Big Mama. We call it Big Mama, how she would create almost something out of literally almost nothing. How she would take food and she would make it stretch, y'all. She would take a chicken and turn it into three chickens. It was only one, but somehow it filled everybody's belly. She took something, nothing, literally almost nothing, and made it into something, to make it into something that was fulfilling. Listen, God ultimately makes something out of nothing, that we praise God for his mighty works. Second, I think, when we talk about mighty works, I think he's talking about God's continuing in care. That God put food on your table, he put a roof over your head, he put clothes on your back and my back, he supplies all of our need according to his riches and glory, that God is a God of providential care. He loves us. And so we think about God's acts of power, his continuing care for us. You can't help but to say hallelujah. When you can go to your cupboard, when you can go to your cabin, when you can go to your refrigerator and it's full, when you can go to your closet and clothes are in the closet, shoes everywhere. That's a reason to praise God and to say hallelujah to God. Third, I think the writer's talking about God's saving acts. His saving acts, A-C-T-S. That God saved Israel out of Egypt. That God saved them through the Red Sea. That God saved them as they went through the wilderness and God brought them into the promised land. That God is a God of saving acts. But we know as God's children that when we think about the saving acts of God, we think about the bloody cross. We think about the empty grave of Christ. When we think of God's mighty acts of salvation, we can't help but to say hallelujah. We cannot help but to say praise the Lord. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul cries out hallelujah. I don't know about you, but God is worthy of praise. So wherever you are, I hope you're able at this moment to praise the Lord. Think about the why of praise. In verse 2, he says, for his unequaled greatness. We're told that we praise God not only for his acts of power, but for his surpassing greatness. We offer praise and thanksgiving to our most high God, our excellent God. And so there's something important for us to remember here. There's an important lesson. We don't stop praising God when we seem like we have nothing to praise God for. When you've talked to God, when you pray to God, and what you prayed for has not come to pass. When it seems like God's not even listening to you, God's not hearing you. When it seems like God is not on your side, there's never a moment when he's not on your side, but when it seems like it to us, that's not a time to stop praising God. Does any of that make God still any less praiseworthy? Of course it doesn't. God is to be praised simply because he's great. He has unequaled greatness. There's nobody above him. Unequaled greatness. So no matter what you're dealing with in your life, no matter what's going on right now, know that God is still worthy of your praise. That God is great and greatly to be praised always. Not just in good times, but in bad times. Not just when you're on the mountain, but when you're in the valley. That God is always to be praised. The why of our praise. Next, we want to look at something else in the text. The how of praise to the Lord. We find that in verses 3 through 5. Again, let me read quickly. Praise him with the blast of the ram's horn. Praise him with the lyre and the harp. Praise him with the tambourine and dancing. Praise him with stringed flutes. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with loud clanging cymbals. So the text is letting us know we can praise him with instruments. We can praise him with all sorts of instruments, can't we? We can praise him with wind instruments, stringed instruments, brass instruments, percussion instruments. Even the electronic instruments, we can praise God. Here's something I see in the text, y'all. I don't know about y'all. Here's something I see. Well, I can appreciate, I can respect people that have silent praise. They're not very loud, that they bow their heads or they, thank you, Jesus, thank you. You know, they're soft. But much of what I read in the text today and much of what I read in the Bible about praise that in the Bible, that it's noisy. Praise him with the loud cymbals. That, have you ever noticed that in the Bible? That praise is oftentimes, it's noisy, it's loud, it's not quiet. That's not a judgment on anybody. Because some people say, listen, I'm not a praise person, I'm not a loud person, but I say this, don't let me catch you at a football game. Don't let me catch you at a sports event and you're, go team, and you're all loud, but you can't come to the house of God to corporate worship and praise and open up your mouth and clap your hands and tell God, thank you, come on now. So the psalmist says, listen, we praise him with instruments. But he also says we praise him with our body. He said we can praise him with dancing. Now listen, I am not a dancer. But to the best of my ability, listen, if I can get a Holy Ghost shuffle going on to praise to God, listen, I give that to God. Praise him with the dance. We also praise him with our bodies, y'all, with our hands and with our voices, with the clapping of our hands, with our movements. The idea is to praise the Lord with everything you got, with everything you have. Let everything that have breath praise the Lord. Listen, our lips and our lifestyle ought to be a melody sung in the key of G. And the G is for God. The G is for his greatness. The G is for his goodness. The G is for his generosity. God expects us to praise him. Talking about the how of praise. Know something. God never grows weary. God never gets tired of us praising him. No matter how many times we sing our songs to the Lord, no matter how many times we come into the house of God and we lift our hands and we lift our voices and we act like we've lost our mind in giving praise, he never gets tired of that. He never grows weary. There's a praise song, y'all, that we used to sing, we exalt thee, we exalt thee, we exalt thee, we exalt thee, oh Lord. Y'all know the song, you know the song. So this song was brought to a new meaning when a mother heard her 3-year-old daughter singing her version of the song. She sung it something like this. We exalt thee, we exalt thee, we exalt thee, O Lord. And sometimes we think maybe our praise is exhausting God. God gets tired of our praise, but God never grows weary. God never gets tired of us praising him. Morning, noon, or night, we ought to praise the Lord. When it comes right down to it, our praise song, our music, our voices lifted to God, God never grows weary of that. He never grows tired of hearing our praise. So keep on praising God. The final question this text answers as it relates to praise to God is this, the who of praise to the Lord. Look at verse 6 really quickly. It says, let everything that breathes sing praises to the Lord. Praise the Lord, everything that has breath, everything that breathes. The noted author and lay theologian C.S. Lewis, some of y'all remember his book, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. He admitted he had a problem, y'all, with this issue of praise. Lewis wrote this, and let me quote, we all despise the man who demands assurance of his own delightfulness. The person that demands their own praise. That we think of them as narcissistic or egomaniacs. But Lewis later came to realize that the world rings with praise, that the lovers praise their mistresses, that readers give praise to their favorite poet, that hikers praise the beauty of nature and the countryside and the outdoors, that athletes praise their favorite football team. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And just as men spontaneously praise whatever they value, so they spontaneously urge us to join them in that praise, don't they? So if your light wife is looking real good, y'all, she's looking good in the dress, you say, don't she look good, y'all? Look at her. You can praise to her. Don't you think this is magnificent? Don't you think the food at that restaurant is off the chain, y'all? It's really good. You give praise to it. Listen, when I declare that I love you, I'm not simply updating you on the state of my affection. Instead, when I express my love, that's a part of the love. The love overflows into expression. Love overflows into expression. It's more than just lip service. It's what we do. It would be less than true love if it remained unexpressed. Praise, y'all, believers. Praise is an expression of our love for God. Do you love God today? Well, can you give him an expression of praise? Can you not just with your lips, can with your life and your lifestyle, can you give an expression of praise and your love to God today? The who of our praise. Still, I think we interpret Psalm 150 a little narrowly. If we simply answer it only with human life and believers in mind. Listen, verse 6 says that everything that hath breath, everything that breathes, praise the Lord. Everything and everyone in all of creation is to offer praise to the Lord. Listen, y'all, go to Psalm 148. Look at what it says. It says, praise the Lord. But look at the who of praise. It's the great sea creatures and the ocean's depths. Praise the Lord, fire and hail and snow and clouds and wind. Praise the Lord, mountains and trees and hills and fruit trees and cedar trees. Praise the Lord, wild animals and all livestock, small creatures, flying birds, praise the Lord. And then we see kings of the earth and all the nations, princes and all the rulers of the earth ought to praise the Lord. Young men and maidens, I don't care how old or how young you are, you ought to be able to praise God. Old men and children, let them all give praise to God. Let them all give praise to the God of our salvation. Without preparing this sermon some time ago, early in the morning, y'all, and I got annoyed because there was a bird chirping outside my window. But in that moment, y'all, Psalm 150 verse 6 rang out in my spirit, in my heart. Let everything that breathes sing praises to the Lord. The bird was just doing what the bird did, what God created it to do. God created the bird to chirp. He created the bird to sing. And so in his singing, in his chirping, he really gives recognition to God who made the bird, because it was doing just what God made it to do. So it was inherent. It was natural to the bird to sing and to chirp, and that in itself gave praise to God. So the bird didn't recognize that it was praising God, but God did, because the bird was simply doing what God called it to do. So what does that say to us, y'all? That praise is in the dog's bow wow. That praise is in the cat's meow. Praise is in the cow's moo and the owl's hoo. Praise is in the lion's roar and the eagle's soar. Praise is in the chicken's cluck and the waddle of a duck. Praise, y'all, praise is in the bear's growl and the wolf's howl. Yet frogs gonna croak, pigs gonna squeal, monkeys chatter, parrots talk, turkeys gobble. In doing what they do, they give praise to God because they're doing what they were created to. Oh, y'all, but us, that God created us special. You are God's special creation, and God created you for the purpose of praising him, not like an animal or a thing, because you know what God did for you. God gave you the mental capacity to look up and know that there is a God of heaven. You know how God supplied your every need. You know how God takes care of you. You know how he flung the stars into the heaven. You know how he created the mighty mountains and the cedar trees. And so nothing should put a delete or stop your praise. Not heartache, not problem, not pain. I understand the where, the why, the how of praise, but I am, you are the special who of praise. The text for today is talking to you and to me, that you and I have a license. We have a command. We have God's permission to praise him. So let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Y'all, it was rumored some years ago that during a conference at a certain church, I think it was Omaha, Nebraska, that people were giving helium-filled balloons, and they were given helium-filled balloons and told to release them at some point in the service when they felt joy in their hearts of all that God had done for them. Since they were of this particular denomination, y'all, where they really weren't free to praise the Lord, I wouldn't want to be in a church where, y'all, I'm not free to praise the Lord. But you know, it was that quiet kind of church. And so they weren't really free just to shout out hallelujah in the church. Praise the Lord. So all through the service, y'all, they begin to release their helium-filled balloons to the top of the church. As all these balloons ascended to the top, the roof of the church, y'all, inside the church, y'all, there was still one-third of the balloons that were unreleased. Now, I want to say something to you. Let go of your balloon. Let go of your breath. And can you praise God in this moment? Let go of your balloon. Release your praise to God. You have a license to praise. I have a license to praise God. And this morning, y'all, as cold as it might be, listen, we have a praise to offer to God, don't we? So praise the Lord. Let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord. We have a license. We have permission to praise the God of our salvation. And the church said, amen. Amen. Listen, we have a license, permission, even command to praise the Lord. No matter what happens in your life, no matter what you go through, never allow anything to put a delete on your praise. I want to speak to those that may be listening in today, and maybe you're not in a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. That we want to offer to you this morning this hope of salvation that comes only through Jesus. When you come to the understanding of what he did to save you and to save me, you can't help but to praise him. But it starts with this, that we admit that we are all sinners, that none of us are righteous, no, not one. We admit our sin. We believe that God sent this Jesus, his son, to die for your sins and my sins. We confess with our mouths the Lord Jesus, believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, and that saves us, that settles it. That you are saved. Does it mean you're perfect? No, you're not perfect, nor am I, nor will any of us be until we see him one day. But it does mean that we're bought into the family of God through a saving relationship through Jesus Christ. And so we take this moment as you're at home or wherever you might be. Bow with me and pray in this moment. Father, we thank you for Jesus. God, we praise you for him. God, we praise you for the gift of salvation. We don't take it for granted. every day of our lives, oh God. We give praise to you. We give praise to the Son. We give praise to Jesus for what he did for us. In this moment, oh God, speak to a heart by the power of your Holy Spirit. Do what only you can do with your saving hand and your saving grace. God, as we release our praise to you, our hearts to you, oh God, we pray for that person right now that may be listening in. God, that they be brought into a saving relationship with Jesus. And we thank you and we praise you for what you do through your Spirit. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. So you'll find on the website, you'll find either a QR code or a link that you can click on. If you made a decision to say, listen, I want to know more about this Jesus that you're preaching about, that you're talking about in this moment, you can do that. Click on the link, fill out the form, or look at the QR code, click on it, fill out the information. I promise you on this coming week, one of our new member ministry advisors will get with you. We'll share with you, answer any questions you might have, and we'll welcome you with open arms. And the church said, amen.
You've just heard Pastor Kevin Love of Living Faith Community Church, located at 1111 Tally Road in San Antonio, Texas. You're welcome to join us for Sunday worship service at 9 a.m. and Wednesday night Bible study via Zoom at 7 p.m. Living Faith Community Church, where we're connecting real life to a real faith.